beginning to roll down her face. And as she talked, her voice started to tremble. She told me, she said, sometime, sometime, sometime I wonder. Talking about, she said, I don't bother nobody, but everybody bothers, they keep on bothering me. I don't understand why, but oh, I know by that time I begin to cry too. You might be up today and down tomorrow. Well, you got Jesus. You got more than silver and gold. Yes. When you got Jesus, you got more than houses and land. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you do. She looked at me. She said, you're always asking me about this book. But she said, in this book, I've learned. And depend on Jesus, even though I may not have changed clothes, but I got a long way waiting on me. Yes, I do, son. I may not have the kind of shoes you wear, but I know I got me some gold and shoes. Walk on, walk on.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
We're telling the believers, the new believers, that they had to follow the Jewish laws to be saved. You know how we do new believers. We keep them with a whole lot of rules and regulations that Christ did not teach. We try to enslave them with the law that is impossible for us to keep. We have a whole lot of rules and regulations. We enslave people with rules about what to eat, where to sit, where to stand, who to talk to, what to wear. I believe that many of new believers don't stay with the church because they feel that they cannot keep up with all of those unnecessary rules. That's why Paul has written this letter, to help those at Rome and us today to understand that the law could not keep us, and Jesus is all that we need to be winners. And just in case you need a topic for this sermon, it is, don't get it twisted, I am a winner. Don't get it twisted, I am a winner. What does Paul want these early believers to reflect on, to remember, to think about, that would push them to the victorious free Christians that they are? First, I believe that Paul tells them that if you are going to be the champions that you are, You need to not only know your strength, but you also need to know your weaknesses. You need to know your blind spot. And you need to know, have put a name on those things that trip you up. Now, I know we've got a lot of church words that we use, and we've got a lot of church buzzwords that we like to throw around to make us feel better. But many times we use them because we don't want to deal with the real issues. For example, how are you doing, Sherry? Oh, I'm just flowing in Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am the lender and not the borrower. Well, the truth of the matter is that we have problems. And if we are going to be winners that God has called us to be, we've got to admit that our main problem is our practice does not always line up with our new life in Christ. Our practice does not always line up with our new life in Christ. Now, I'm talking about me because you've got it all together. You've got, ever since you've been saved, all your stuff is in order. But I want to let you to know that I don't have it always together. Sometimes when I should be quiet, Liz, I talk too much. When I just smile, Barbara, I frown. I'm just talking about me. And how I don't always display the fruit of the Spirit. I don't always have joy. I don't always have peace. And I don't always have love. Sometimes I mess up. But that's just me. That's just me. My sisters and brothers, I know we pretend that we've always got it together. But if you look back over your life, since you have been saved, I will bet my last paycheck that you have not always practiced what you preach. In my sanctified imagination, I can hear God say, "'Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that." You said one time. One time. One time you said, "God, I'm with you. I'll never go back." And God says, "Well, here I am, daughter. Practice what you preach." Because our practice does not always line up with this new life in Christ, we begin to think that all is lost and that we are not saved. But Paul says that the only way to do better is to first know that you've got a problem. Even Paul said, and you know we quote Paul more than we quote Jesus, but Paul said, "I find myself doing things that I don't want to do. And the things that I should be doing, I don't do." Paul said that there is a war going on in my flesh. But guess what? Don't get it twisted. I am a winner. I am a winner. Is Paul asking these new believers to remember, to reflect on, and to think about? I believe that he tells them that when the good church folks come up with a whole lot of unnecessary rules and doctrines that tries to keep you in bondage, tell them, don't get it twisted, I am a winner. Why? Because even though my practices are sometimes off, my position in Christ is stable. My practices might be off, But my position in Christ is stable. So, Sherry, where do you see that? You've got to go back. See, that's why it's important to stay in the text. Preach in context. You've got to go back to Romans 8, 1 and 2, which tells us that because God knew that in my flesh, I could not keep those 613 Jewish laws. God sent his son to Jesus to make it possible to win, to be victorious. My sisters and brothers, isn't it good to know that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe so that I could be a winner? Jesus paid it all, and all to him I know. Sin has left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, I'm planted in him. I might not get it right all the time, and I might have some failures along the way, but the Holy Spirit assures us that even in our suffering and even in our mess up, we are still God's children. You see, I haven't always pleased my parents. There are times that I disappointed them, Carolyn, but they did not put me out of the family. They kept on loving me and taking care of me. Saints, when we disobey God, it messes up our fellowship, but our position in Christ, our position does not change. My practice does not always line up with my position, but don't get it twisted. I am still a winner because God has given me the Holy Spirit to help me to put this flesh to death. God has given us his Spirit to enable us to cry out to him when we find ourselves with a situation. Because my position in Christ, when I find myself wanting to do the things I should not do, I cry out, "God, me over. Thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand." Oh, yes, my practices may be up and down, but my position in Christ is stable. So I say to you, don't get it twisted, because I am a winner. So even though my practices don't always reflect my new life in Christ, because of Calvary, my position in Christ is stable. But as I prepare to sit, I believe Paul wants these new believers to remember, to reflect on one more thing. Paul wants the new believers in Rome and also us in Mount Olive to understand that we are winners because God is on our side, and we are protected to the end. Therefore, after all is said and done, verily, verily, sure enough, I am a winner because God is keeping me. Say what you want to about me, but I'm in the hands of my master, who says that my sheep know my voice, and they will not listen to another. Those that are in my hand, no one and nothing can pluck them out. Therefore, not only have I been bought with a price, but I have been sealed until the day of redemption. That's why Paul reminds us that I might not always have it all together. I keep rising and falling, but my big brother Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, saying, "That's one of mine. Don't mess with her. I know she's messing up right now, but if you look real close to her, you'll see my blood all over her." Tonight, I wish we could remember that Calvary makes it possible.
Yes.
To say, don't get it twisted.
Yes.
I am a winner.
Yes.
I am victorious.
Yes.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yes.
Remember, when life hits you,
yes,
you are more than a conqueror.
Yes.
When the pressures of life press you down like a grape in a winery, remember that we are winners. Even when we are experiencing hardships and we are caught between a rock and a hard place, we are winners. Even when the enemy is hunting us down like an animal to be killed, we are winners. Even when we don't have everything that we need, we are winners. Paul reminds us that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And because of that, you are a winner. Oh, my sisters and brothers, may I suggest to you that God, who saved you, will keep you, and that there is nothing that will separate you from the love of Christ. People may try to hold you hostage and put shackles on your feet, but you must be clear with your own mind that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. There is nothing, not one thing, not things present or things to come, that God, who saved me, will protect me until the end. I can be assured that I'm safe. I'm saved, and I am secure. Well, Sherry, you sound mighty sure of your winning status. Who is this God? Who is this God that can keep you safe? Who is this God that can keep you saved? Who is this God that can keep you secure? May I introduce you to Jesus. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of Israel. He is the King of righteousness. He is the King of the ages. He is the King of heaven. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. I wonder, do you know him? That's my King. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives the sinners. He discharges the dead. I wonder, do you know him? That's my King. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. I wonder, do you know him? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. I wonder, do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wonder, do you know him? You can't get him off your mind. You can't get him out your head. You can't outlive him. And you sure can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out they could not stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. I wonder who you know him. Jesus, that's my King. That's my King. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He is a King. He's the King of glory. I wonder, do you know him? And it's all because of Jesus that I can boldly declare that no matter what you think about me, no matter what you say about me, talk about me or whatever you do to me, I am a winner. Don't ever get it twisted. I'm a winner. I am Reverend Shara L. Brown Jackson, and I pray that God approves this message.
Come on, give the Lord some praise in this house. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. The house is on fire when the Holy Ghost is present. Woo! The word has gone forth, and I know it has touched somebody's heart. You've heard that we're blessed, and we have the right. When we come to Jesus and we lay bare ourselves before him, and we plead our case before him, we no longer have to eat the crumbs. But we can get the full meal. Somebody here may not know God in the pardon of their sin. You don't know the joy that God can give you. You don't know the peace that he can give you. You may not know the hope that he will place within your soul. But I come to tell you tonight that God wants to save your soul. He desires you with all of his heart. He loves you with an everlasting love. Don't get it twisted. There's nothing that you can do that God can't undo.
So you came and changed my life.
So if you don't know him tonight, this is your opportunity.
So you clean me up inside.
To come and
you
give him your life.
I was to die
don't look
so
at nobody
you
else.
Sacrifice your life.
Don't worry.
So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone.
Because when life is all over,
hallelujah.
You're gonna have to stand before God. Mama not gonna be able to stand for you. Daddy not gonna be able to stand
glory
for you. Your pastor not gonna be able to stand
to
for
the
you.
God who changed my
your friend
life.
Not gonna be able to stand
forever,
for you.
Forever.
Your buddy.
Forever.
Forever. Your dog. He not gonna be able to stand for you.
Free,
you're gonna have to stand
so
for yourself.
So I can be whole. So I can tell.
And there's only two places that's designated.
I know that was
there is
saving.
No in between. Despite what some people
so
say, there is no in between.
Changed my life.
It's either
you
heaven
I was worth
or
keeping.
Hell. And what's standing between
so
heaven
you
and
clean
hell is
me
Jesus.
Up inside, you thought I was to die for.
You don't have
so
to die and go to hell.
Your life.
Jesus
so
died.
So I could be free. So I could be
so that you
whole,
could be made whole.
So
won't you come?
Everyone I know, so saving.
Come and take
so
your place.
You came and changed
at the table.
My life. You thought I was worth keeping.
And begin your journey with him.
So you clean me
and sometimes
up
you may
inside.
Rise and you may fall.
You thought I was
dying. But don't give
for.
Up. Don't get it twisted.
So you sacrifice
God still loves
your life so I can be free.
And
so
whatever
I
he starts in
whole,
you,
so I can tell.
Whatever he begins in you, he will complete it. He's that kind of God. Somebody may want prayer.
To the God who changed my life.
Reverend Lavinia Jordan, will you come?
Forever and ever. Forever. Forever. Free so I can be whole. So I can tell everyone I know. So I could be free.
Glory, glory. We have truly feasted on the word of God on tonight. Whenever we have the privilege to feast on the word of God, especially in the company of believers, because no one came to the altar and said, I need Jesus in my life. That means we are in a company of believers. And right now, heaven testifies to us or against us, whether or not we are saved and whether or not we actually told the truth when the call went out. So since we all declare that we are in a company of believers, and we have so feasted on the word of God, it is only befitting that we come to the altar of God before we depart this place and seal this word with our thanksgiving to God, first for being believers. Glory for having a Savior to believe in. Glory for a Holy Spirit that keeps us. Glory. Glory for being invited to the table. And in this season of unveiling, is that what a revelation is? It's an unveiling. We've spent a lot of years with a partial story. And when we get out of here, it'll still be a partial story, but God is unveiling some things in this day, and he's making more and more clear that there is a completeness to the picture. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. We stand today, ladies, behind pioneering women. I was thinking about my grandmother this morning, a preacher amongst none that I could compare her to. But in her day, she wasn't able to stand behind a pulpit and proclaim the word of God. But today, I have no excuse, because God has unveiled some things in this day that says, yes, he's calling whosoever will. God, we thank you today. For the word has gone forth. Father, we thank you today for your preachers who have proclaimed your word this day, God. Father, we stand and we ask you, understanding that in the pattern of the Old Testament, that when we come before your altar, we come and we have to be made Jesus. Glory. We bring a sacrifice, Lord, that is pleasing to the high priest. And we know that now our high priest is Jesus. And we know that that sacrifice that's pleasing to him, God, is a contrite heart, a heart that is convicted of our sin, God. When our practice is not right, God, we are convicted of our sin, God. And not just for convicted, God, but we ask you for your forgiveness, God. And we get that forgiveness as we come and present ourselves before you, Lord. So we're not getting it twisted, Lord. We are winners, God. And we know that in order to be a winner, stay a winner, be kept as a winner, we must get our practice in line with your word. And tonight, God, we ask you, Jesus,